Good morning. Beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin from our downtown Wausau studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Currently sunny skies and 69 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to facebook.com and checking out our video stream at facebook.com and the Bow Falls Radio page. Coming up in this hour at 9:34, we will be joined by the Secretary of State for the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Godlewski. Very interesting political career for Sarah Godlewski, and it's still very early, I think. She is somebody that was the state treasurer of the state of Wisconsin. She basically saved that office. Republicans were looking to eliminate the state treasurer's office, and she did a wonderful job there. Then she ran for the United States Senate a couple of years ago. She ran in the run-up to the Democratic primary, and was a very impressive candidate. Mandela Barnes eventually became the Democratic nominee for the Senate and lost in a very close election with Ron Johnson. But Sarah Godlewski was, again, I think, a very good candidate 2 years ago in the state Senate race. And then after Doug La Follette resigned his office as Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski took that position about a year and a half ago. And it's another challenging position because the Secretary of State's office in the state of Wisconsin has been woefully underfunded. So I'm going to talk to Sarah Godlewski a little bit about her role as Secretary of State, how she's trying to build up that office in a similar way, try to save it like she did the state treasurer's office, and then also talk about 2024. She is somebody that obviously ran for the United States Senate. We have a U.S. Senate race coming up between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde, and then also talk about maybe her thoughts on J.D. Vance getting the Republican vice presidential nomination yesterday announced by Donald Trump, and talk generally about election 2024 as well. So Sarah Godlewski coming up at 9:34 this morning here on the program. Again, if you missed the first hour of the show, we will have that put up as a podcast at the end of this show. And if you missed any of our previous editions of the Chad Holmes Show, you're able to go back and listen as a podcast every hour. And in the first hour, we started things off with Chad Daly from the Marathon County Public Library. Normally, Chad is with us at this time, but he has to get off to Hatley, to the Hatley branch, to help out over there early this morning. So we brought him in an hour early to find out what's happening at the Marathon County Public Library, the main branch and the branches around the county as well. We were joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot talking about what looks to be an outstanding week weather-wise. And also we had a chance to talk to Ku Lee, and again, from AANH, PI for Biden, and also a member of the Green Bay School Board. So again, we had a very busy first hour. If you missed it, you'll be able to tune in on bowfallsradio.com, at civicmedia.us, on the show page, and wherever you get your podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search out Chad Holmes Show, and you'll be able to listen to that hour and all the hours wherever you get your podcasts. So, again, also one quick note before we move any further. If you go to civicmedia.us, there's a special page, right? You can click on the front page of civicmedia.us. All the news and the activities going on at the Republican National Convention. And, again, Civic Media down there, lots of folks covering it for Civic Media, and anything that's happening, you can go to the special Republican National Convention page at civicmedia.us. So check that out. A lot of interesting stuff there as well. Before we go any further, need to say good morning and hello to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Coming up later in the hour, after we talk to Sarah Godlewski, we'll have our daily history lesson. We'll talk about some famous events that occurred on this date in history. We'll talk about some celebrity birthdays, some special days to be acknowledged. And then, as we do each and every day, we will wrap up with the number of the day quiz. And right now, talk about somebody that is red hot. You are red hot right now. Going back to last week. Last week, you were 4 or 5.
Yes,
I
was.
You got a big W yesterday. You're 1 for 1. Mm-hmm. So you're 5 of your last 6. You're looking to get a win today. So that if you got a win today, That would mean that you would already have a winning week because, again, we give you three choices every day. Mm-hmm. If you get 2 out of 5, that's 40%. Based on the math, you get 3 choices, you should get 1 out of 3.
Yeah.
So that's 33%. So if you get 2 out of 5 for the week, you're above 33%. It's a big W. Mm-hmm. But now, after a good start, you set a record last week with 4 out of 5.
Yes, I did.
So let's try to set another record this week, right?
Absolutely. The hardest thing will be to improve on the 4 out of 5 record. Cause the only thing to do with that would be a 5 out of 5. But that would mean, I mean, I could do it. It is possible, but I just have to make sure or that I stay on top of my game. Absolutely.
Absolutely, indeed. So, we will look forward to that. I know last night was the first night that you had a official rehearsal for your next show. Again, what's your next show?
I am going to be involved in the Shakespeare play, The Taming of the Shrew.
And that's a Shakespeare in the Park experience with the River and Woods Theater Company.
Shows will be in at Stewart Park in Wausau, August 15th, 16th, and 17th.
And also there's a cast of children doing Midsummer's Night's Dream, correct?
That's right. River and Woods is doing Shakespeare in the Park, and they have 2 shows. They have a show for kids in the afternoon. It's a Midsummer Night's Dream, and the evening show for adults, The Taming of the Shrew, will be in the later evening. So I believe they'll both be on the same day.
So fantastic. A lot of great Shakespeare coming up in mid-August, but last night, the first rehearsal, how did it go?
Honestly, I thought it went pretty well. I'm still getting used to the language a little bit and working on the timing because, you know, the Shakespearean language is, it's not like overly complicated. It's just there's a certain way that you're supposed to say it and like the rhythm of the sentences, but it was only the first rehearsal, so plenty of time to work on it. Overall, I thought that all of my lines I did last night, we actually did the scenes, the 3 scenes we worked on multiple times, so that repetition definitely helped me you get more confident in those lines.
Well, that's it. I mean, number one, you got to block it all out, too. I mean, you have to get that all set up. Then you have to, you know, go through the lines. And as you said, the rhythm is so different for Shakespearean dialogue that's going to take a little bit of time. But basically, again, when I've done any kind of acting, I've always felt useless until the book was not in my hands. I mean, once you know your lines, you're able to really develop the character in a way that you're not able to while you're still on book. So
exactly.
Early on, it's just about getting comfortable with the dialogue and learning it, and then you really take those big strides in the final couple of weeks before the opening of the show. So
absolutely,
you got to trust the process, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's a long process, but it does work.
It's a long process, but kind of a short process this time around. Again, the last show you were in was a 2-month process. This one's basically a 1-month process, so you're gonna have to jump into it pretty quickly, aren't you?
Our first performance is only a month away from yesterday, so it's it'll be here before we know it.
Talking about performances, I don't know if you caught on the news or any of this. Probably not. I caught a little bit of it actually this morning. Last night, there's a home run derby at the All-Star Game. The baseball All-Star Game is tonight, and they had a home run derby, and they had somebody come out and sing the national anthem. And it was awful. It was a complete disaster, to be honest with you.
I'm guessing it was someone who was not a professional.
Well, it was
singer?
A young lady. I'm not sure what the story behind it was, but the idea that you bring on somebody without, because my only thought is they must not have heard her before, because I don't understand how you bring out somebody that basically, and it's become a kind of a significant story, basically came out there and just had a very poor performance. It was, basically there was a posting that I saw on social media. Huh? It said, somebody said, just when I thought nothing could unite this country, America comes together to dunk on, and I say that as politely and objectively as possible, the worst national anthem performance of all time. And, Someone else said, if you or a loved one listen to the national anthem during the 2024 Home Run Derby, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
Well, I just feel bad for this girl who had to sing it, because it's probably very embarrassing for her, too.
I guess so, but I don't know exactly what happened. But, again, you're exactly right. The person who did it is not the one you would blame for the problem.
It's the people who asked her to. It's like, okay, so you should have had a questioning process. It's like, all right, are you a singer? Did you take voice lessons? You should at least have a practice singing. Like, have her sing the song a couple of times and see how she sounds. You shouldn't just
throw her into the deep end and expect it to be perfect. But I will say this: apparently, the young woman's name is Ingrid Andress, and I'm not somebody that is a country music fan, but apparently, this person is a 4-time Grammy nominee. So apparently, this is some sort of professional. But it was not good. And the thing about it is, the national anthem is not easy. It's not an easy song. You have to be, I think, simple. Because when you try to add different layers to it, it kind of gets off track.
It loses its meaning a little
bit. Yeah, this gets off track.
Yeah.
But I guess if you haven't heard it, you'll be able to find it. Maybe take a listen to it if you dare.
I'll probably listen to it, then we can talk more about it tomorrow.
There you go. The time is 9:18. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Time is 9:21 here on this beautiful Tuesday morning, which it's not Thursday yet. It's only Tuesday. Tuesday morning, again, sunny skies, 69 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Coming up in about 13 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. But a little bit of sports here. Wausau Woodchucks, because, again, for people that know the Woodchucks' history, they started off as the Wausau Woodchucks. They then turned to the Wisconsin Woodchucks. At that time, there were no other Wisconsin teams in the North Woods League, so it kind of made a little bit of sense to be called the Wisconsin Woodchucks. But then all sorts of teams in the state of Wisconsin occurred in the North Woods League, so the Woodchucks went back to the Wausau Woodchucks, and they are having themselves quite a 2024 season. They were the champions of the Great Lakes West Division in the first half of the season, so they've already earned a playoff berth. But even though they're going to be in the playoffs here coming up soon, they're still playing outstanding baseball in the second half of the North Woods League season. The Woodchucks are now 10-2 in the second half, and most of those games have been on the road. In fact, last night was the first game at Athletic Park in Wausau in 8 days for the Wausau Woodchucks, and they beat the Green Bay Rockers by a score of 12-4. And that earned a split for the Woodchucks. They had lost in Green Bay the previous night, but again, 10-2 so far. And Adiel Melendez Went three innings, strike out all three, allowing two runs. The Chucks are now 8-0 when Melendez pitches. The Woodchucks, whose offense has been just red hot, they got to work very, very quickly. They would score twice in the first inning and basically taking a lead they would not be threatened with for the rest of the game. So the Woodchucks will be on the road tonight. So a one-game homestand. They were back home for one day. They will travel south to Madison, taking on the Mallards. But they will be back for a twin bill tomorrow. If you're a baseball fan, you can head on over to Athletic Park tomorrow as the Woodchucks will take on the Madison Mallards in a pair of games. Both the games tomorrow will be seven innings. Game number one will start at 5:05. And the first 500 fans who attend game number one tomorrow will receive a complimentary baseball courtesy of the Medical College of Wisconsin. And the second game will start 30 minutes after the first one ends, expected to be somewhere around 7:35 p.m. Also last night in the Northwoods League, the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, who are trying to earn their way into the playoffs, they need to win the second half of the season in the Great Lakes West. They are now 7-6. They are 3.5 games behind the Woodchucks in the standings. They defeated Kalamazoo last night by a score of 7-6. Also, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is tonight, and a former Milwaukee Brewer will be the starting pitcher for the American League All-Stars, Corbin Burnes, who, of course, the Brewers traded during the offseason. He's had himself a very good season in Baltimore. Burnes is 9-4 with a 2.93 earned run average. He will get the ball to start things off down in Arlington, Texas, in tonight's All-Star Game. The National League will be pitching one of the breakout stars of the 2024 season, Paul Skeens of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was not even with the Pirates to start off the year. He did not make his Major League debut until May 11th, but he has been incredible so far. He is 6-0, has a 1.90 earned run average in 11 starts. In fact, his last start came in Milwaukee late last week. He went 7 no-hit innings against the Brewers. He got pulled with a no-hitter. That always annoys me. It annoys me big time that a pitcher gets lifted with a no-hitter. But Skeens has been just amazing. He is a sensational rookie, and he will be the National League starter tonight as a rookie. Brewers have a couple of all-star starters. Christian Yelich will be starting in the outfield, and William Contreras will start at catcher for the Brewers, for the National League from the Milwaukee Brewers. So, again, the Brewers have had an outstanding first half of the baseball season, and they are being rewarded with a couple of starters. Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight in Arlington, Texas, just after 7 o'clock, and you can see the game on the Fox television network. So you got the Republican National Convention. You got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. I have to admit that I have not watched many All-Star games recently because I'm not a big fan of exhibition games. And also, one thing about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in recent years that has annoyed me big time is it used to be really cool, I thought, because all the All-Stars would wear their team's uniforms. So you would have a game where everybody is out there in their own uniforms. Okay. So the Brewers would wear their, if you're the home team, you'd wear the home uniforms, the Cubs and the Cardinals and whoever else would. And it was really cool. But the last number of years, they've gone to these really lame uniforms, American League and National League. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're doing it is because of money. Because Major League Baseball has, they have this deal with Nike. And they have these special All-Star Game uniforms. And they used to be special All-Star Game uniforms that would only be used during the Home Run Derby and during the, basically the run-up to the game. Mm-hmm. But then when the game itself occurred, the teams would be in their normal uniforms. And I always found it to be very cool to see all the teams of Major League Baseball represented in their own uniforms and do it that way. But Paul Manfred, who is the commissioner of Major League Baseball, said, I think it's even better having these special uniforms. No, they're lame uniforms. And again, they just want to have them out there so people go out there and buy them after the All-Star game.
It's all about the merchandise.
Exactly. Right? It's all about the merchandise. There is some rumors that...
Hey, the players can wear them. You should wear this too.
Exactly. And that's why they have special uniforms during the course of the year. And it's all about the money. But rumor has it that perhaps within the next year or two that Major League Baseball will go back to the old way of having the players in the All-Star game wear their normal uniforms, and again have this kaleidoscope of different uniforms, which I found to always be very cool and very, very fun for the All-Star game.
So not to wait for them to go back.
Yes, it's not too late to say no, this mistake should be corrected. Coming up, news, weather, and sports. Yep, we have information updates at the top and bottom of every hour. We're going to find out what's happening down at the Republican National Convention, get all the latest news nationally and internationally from CBS. Terry Bell, who is at the RNC, will have a civic media statewide news update. Brittany Merlot will have our local news and weather. And Mike Clemens will have the latest in sports. So again, all the information you need at the top and bottom of every hour. And then after that, we will be joined at 9:34 by the Secretary of State of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Godlewski. So Sarah Godlewski coming up next, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:34, beautiful Tuesday morning, again, sunny skies, 69 degrees, and very happy to welcome to the program the Secretary of State of the state of Wisconsin. First time on the program, very, very thrilled to have her, Sarah Godlewski. And Madam Secretary, first of all, good morning and thanks for coming on the program.
Good morning, Chad. It is so great to be with you today.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little politics, obviously, with the state of Wisconsin right now, the political epicenter of the country with the Republicans coming in, spending a little money in our great state down in Milwaukee. But I wanted to talk to you about your current position and also your previous position, because when I look at folks in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to elected positions, you've had two of the tougher ones. As a state treasurer, you basically came in there and saved that office. And then now you're the Secretary of State for the last, what, year and a half or so. And that's also an office that has been traditionally underfunded when it comes to the job that you're trying to do. What have you learned in these positions where you have not had what you call Elon Musk kind of money to be throwing around to make these positions work? What have you learned in your two positions in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, it's a great question. There, you're going to be the state treasurer and the Secretary of State. I would have said they're, you know, out of their mind. There's no way. So it was quite a unique, I think, career trajectory, but being kind of a Western Wisconsinite, something that I carry with me every day, whether it was a state treasurer or as Secretary of State, is how you got to be scrappy. You know, Wisconsinites are scrappy every day in their jobs to get things done. And that's exactly what we did, whether it was my work as state treasurer. We helped, you know, fund communities across ownership program to help folks buy, sell, and stay in their homes, to creating, you know, bipartisan legislation for child savings accounts. But that was not because we had all this taxpayer funding to do this work. It was because we were willing to meet people where they are and be scrappy. And that's exactly what kind of the mentality we're using today with the Secretary of State's office, because this office, as you noted, has been severely underfunded at the detriment of Wisconsin. We do services for thousands of Wisconsinites if they're trying to expand their business or adopt a child or like different business services. And so we've got to meet folks where they are. So we're modernizing the office and improving our customer service, but it's just a lot of kind of grit and just innovation to be able to do these things.
Let's talk some politics, because I'd like to pick your brain about this, because obviously you have the experience of running for office. You ran for the United States Senate, I thought did a wonderful job in that Democratic primary a couple of years ago. So you know the lay of the land when it comes to that, and also just generally in terms of what maybe makes Wisconsinites tick. The first question I would have is, right now with the RNC going on in Milwaukee, one of the big stories is the choice of the vice presidential candidate yesterday. I don't see where that would help that ticket in Wisconsin. Am I missing something there? What's your thoughts on J.D. Vance joining Donald Trump on the ticket?
Well, for starters, Chad, when I watched the RNC the exact opposite of a horrible city that it was accused of being earlier.
Right.
But, you know, with regards to J.D. Vance, look, I'm sure that he's a nice guy, but when you actually look at his policies and what he stands for, he's too extreme for Wisconsin. And let's just bring some of these to light, because we're starting now to get to know who is this guy named J.D. Vance, you know. J.D. Vance is the guy that has stood for a national ban on abortion. And we know what that means here in Wisconsin, since we saw when that, you know, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. We went back to 1849 and gave half our population fewer rights. And further, he's so extreme that he doesn't support exceptions, not even for rape or for incest. And so that is incredibly alarming, because we know a national abortion ban is something that's incredibly real, as we saw Roe v. Wade being overturned. We also know that he has talked about how he believes Medicare and Social Security are fiscally irresponsible and cut. And what makes no sense, Chad, is we all know Social Security and Medicare are critical programs that people earn. They pay into these programs. They deserve these programs. People rely on them. So how is that not fiscally responsible when you're, you know, robbing money from Medicare to pay for other programs? That's fiscally irresponsible for Wisconsinite. To even like the Affordable Care Act, which we know thousands of Wisconsinites rely on for care. I know for me, with pre-existing conditions, like healthcare companies could discriminate against me and others with pre-existing conditions. And he thinks that we need to basically throw the baby out with the bathwater and start over. And with what? And so I think these are, to me, top of mind issues, because whether it is, you know, access to healthcare, to access to Social Security, these are fundamental programs, and they don't want somebody cutting this stuff. And that's what J.D. Vance has said he stands for.
That's actually, you know, you brought up the idea of Social Security, and even going back to the debate, which obviously has been led to a lot of discussion over the last few weeks. One question that jumped out when watching it was, the president was asked about it. He made a very straightforward answer. He said, he was asked, well, what would you do to secure Social Security? He said, basically, you lift the caps in terms of the wealthy paying in more towards higher incomes. And Trump never answered the question. And one of the frustrating aspects the last number of weeks has been, both these gentlemen have records as president of the United States. We know what happened from 2017 to 2021, and we have a record that's from 2021 until the present day. The discussion has to be on more than personality, more than presentation, the real lives that are affected by policies. And I think that's a very, you know, talking about what the president would do with Social Security, what any number of issues. There's a lot of issues that need to be talked about, aren't there?
Yeah, and I think, Chad, you know, something that I kept thinking about as I was watching the RNC yesterday is they kept flashing, like, make America wealthy again. And my follow-up question was, for who? because when Donald Trump was in office, he did the Trump tax cuts that he likes to brag about. But if you actually look under the hood or peel back the onion, those tax cuts actually benefited corporate, encouraged corporation, benefited the wealthy 1%. And we saw it because Amazon ended up paying nothing for taxes, even though they are a multi-billion dollar corporation. Or my parents, who are retired school teachers in Eau Claire, ended up having to pay more in taxes than these, you know, the wealthy 1%. And so this is, I think, we have to start asking, like, what did we get when we had Donald Trump in office? And to me, tax cuts that are that we have to pay for couldn't be further from, you know, helping lift up everyday Wisconsinites, which we're seeing, for example, with Joe Biden. I mean, Biden is the one that, you just said it, Chad, like, he wants to make sure that we are taxing actually corporations, we're taxing the wealthy 1%, and that they're paying their fair share so we can expand programs like childcare and have potential. So to, you know, look, Joe Biden stood up to Big Pharma and finally cut the cost of prescription drugs. I mean, the fact that we were paying more than Canada and Europe, and it's produced in the US, we're the ones that often pay the research and development of these drugs, but then we're still paying more than anybody else. It's ridiculous. And so when you look at these records of what these presidents have done, it's really clear that Joe Biden has been stepping up for, you know, working Wisconsin folks and helping to try.
And something else along that same line is things that are considered little things, and I think they're big things. You talked about the insulin cap, but also junk fees that affect average people.
Yeah.
I mean, the president is actually focused on some of these issues that have been out there for so many years that affect everyday lives of lower and middle income people. That, again, the record is out there on who the president is thinking about, isn't it?
Right. Well, I mean, Chad, do we all remember that one thing that led to actually helping to almost end child poverty was the child tax credit, where families, working families, were getting money to help, you know, afford child care and put, you know, food on the table, make those child tax cuts permanent, which could be a game changer, but it was the Republicans who said no. Mm-mm. Like, they're not going to do that. And so we've actually even seen some of these policies and the benefits that they have had, but they just want to cut it and give tax cuts to their buddies.
And finally, we have a couple of minutes left, and another big election coming up here in the state of Wisconsin is you got incumbent Senator Tammy Baldwin going up against Eric Hovde. It's very similar in a sense that you have a record with Senator Baldwin and you have a bunch of 30-second commercials where Eric Hovde really isn't talking about specific issues, at least not that I've seen.
Yeah, no, I think it is very interesting that he, you know, rather than maybe talking about the issues or where he stands on bringing jobs back to Wisconsin, or, you know, Tammy has had an incredible record of bringing jobs back to our state. Do a commercial about jumping in a lake, or, you know, talking about his mustache. And even when he had his announcement video, we saw how he didn't even use the word Wisconsin once, which I think just further shows how he's just really disconnected. And Eric Hovde too, like where he stands on things like abortion and access to contraceptions. I mean, we saw in the Senate just a few months ago, they had the Right to Contraceptives Act. This would make sure guarantee things like IVF. And it was the Republican leadership that's supporting Eric Hovde that said, no, we're not going to, you know, support that. And so these are things that are really real here in Wisconsin. And we know Tammy, with her leadership with the Women's Health Protection Act that would make Roe v. Wade the law of the land, she has been the leader on that. And to me, Chad, at the end of the day, what I hear about from Wisconsinites is they just want someone who's going to get a record of getting things done, whether it's money from the, you know, recently we saw here, we got over, what is it, $40 million to create a tech hub here in Wisconsin that's going to bring good paying jobs, to the work that she's done with the infrastructure package, to even passing the Respect for Marriage Act. I mean, that's Tammy's leadership. And we, you know, she has, and I know will continue to get things done for us, which is exactly what we want our advocate in Washington to do.
Wisconsin Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski. Ms. Secretary, again, really appreciate your time, and hopefully we can talk again sometime soon.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be on the show, Chad, and I would love to be back again soon.
Again, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. The time is 9:49. We're going to come back, have our final segment this morning, our daily history lesson, our number of the day quiz with Ian, and more. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And good morning again. Time is 9:51. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Tuesday, July 16th, 2024 is day number 198 of this year. There are 168 days remaining in 2024. And a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. Going back to 1955, Disneyland opened in Anaheim, California. So happy birthday to Disneyland. I know Ian, a big Disney fan.
Yes, I am.
Have you been to Disneyland?
I have not been to Disneyland. I've been to Disney World.
Oh.
I haven't been to Disneyland.
Well, that's
what I really hope to someday.
One thing you better get off that bucket list before all is said and done. On this date, in 1957, United States Marine Major John Glenn flew an F-8U Crusader supersonic jet from California to New York in 3 hours, 23 minutes, and 8 seconds, setting a new transcontinental speed record. 1969, Apollo 11 launched from Cape Kennedy, Florida. It would become the first manned space mission to land on the moon. On this date in 1999, 25 years ago, hard to believe. I remember when this happened. On this, it was a, I believe it was a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. But on July the 16th of 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, and sister-in-law Lauren Bessette were killed in a plane crash off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. The Piper Saratoga aircraft was piloted by Kennedy. On this date, 20 years ago today, 2004, Martha Stewart was sentenced to 5 months in prison and 5 months of home confinement by a federal judge for lying about a stock sale. On this date in 2017, the BBC announced its first ever female Doctor Who would be played by Jodie Whittaker. On this date in 2018, Donald Trump appeared to accept the word of Russian President Vladimir Putin over U.S. intelligence services about Russian meddling in the 2016 election.
Keep that in mind, folks.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Reuben Blades turned 76. Dancer Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance, is 66. Actor Phoebe Cates of Gremlins and Drop Dead Fred is 61. Will Ferrell, 57 years old today.
A great actor and a really funny guy.
Yep, absolutely. And actor Rain Pryor of Head of the Class, 55. Actor Corey Feldman is 53. Anna Lynn McCord of 90210 and Nip Tuck is 37 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Guinea Pig Appreciation Day. It is Corn Fritter Day. It is Fresh Spinach Day. It is Personal Chef Day. It is Cherry Day. And World Snake Day. So remember in our old building one day, right by my office, found a snake scurrying right by the door. That was not a good day. Very happy to be out of the old building. See a snake or two from time to time, but today, World Snake Day.
That'd be pretty scary.
Pretty annoying, actually, more than anything else. True. All right, it is time.
What?
It is time for the number for the day and our number for the day quiz. And if you've not been with us before, every day at this point, we give Ian Welsh a quiz on our number for the day. We give him three choices. So based on the math, he should get one out of three correct. So every week, the goal is to get at least 33% correct.
Yes.
And normally we have a five-day week. So that means if you get one out of five, that's 20%. That would not be a winning week. Mm-mm. But if you get two out of five, that would be 40%. So that would be a winning week. And last week was a huge winning week with four out of five. And Ian got the correct answer yesterday for our number for the day quiz. So he is one for one this week. So a chance right now to earn a winning week already if he gets it right today.
Indeed.
All right. Our number for the day. The average number of viewers of an American Cornhole League tournament across various ESPN broadcasts. Hmm. So how many viewers, on average, does ESPN get for American Cornhole League tournament coverage?
Okay.
Is the correct answer 50,000? Is the correct answer 500,000? Is the correct answer 5 million? So is it 50,000, 500,000, or 5 million? The average number of viewers of an American Cornhole League tournament across the various ESPN broadcasts.
Oh, that's kind of a tough one because I don't really watch Cornhole and ESPN that much, but I know what cornhole is.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, 50,000, 500,000, or was it 5 million the last one?
Yep, 50,000, 500,000, and 5 million.
Okay, this might be a little tricky. I'm taking a shot here. I will say the average amount will probably, I'm going to say 500,000. I'm going with the middle answer.
Okay. The correct answer of the average number of viewers of an American Cornhole League tournament across the various ESPN broadcasts, 50,000.
Oh, the smallest number.
And frankly, I don't believe that. I wish
more people would view it, though.
I don't believe that. I actually don't think that's right, but that's what the information I was sent. I'm going to have to do some research, and we may have to have a further review on this one before tomorrow. But thanks again to our guest, Chad Daly from the Marathon County Public Library, also Cooley from Green Bay School Board and AANHPI for Biden. And finally, the Secretary of State of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Godlewski. We'll be back tomorrow. Bob looking hour number one. We will also be joined tomorrow by Sean Wright of the Grand Theater. Ian, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
And stick around. Lots of coverage from Milwaukee and the Republican National Convention. Starting next with Matinee on Air from 10 until noon. And we'll be back tomorrow from 8 till 10. Chad Holmes Show. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.